Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, your weekly guide through matters crucial to families and the preservation of traditional values in the Commonwealth and beyond. Archives of this and past shows are available at afaofpa.org. Now your host, a dedicated advocate for family values and the director of the American Family Association of Pennsylvania, Diane Gramley.
Those pushing for an Article 5 Convention of States descended upon Harrisburg. The website says, quote, the mission of COS, that's Convention of States, Action Pennsylvania, is to empower Pennsylvania citizens with its ability to enact change on a national level using the powers granted in Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution, unquote. So just what is this Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution, and what are the dangers of such a Convention of States? My guest today is John Diamond. He's the regional director of the John Birch Society. Thanks, John, for being with us.
Hey, appreciate being on again.
So here we are, the folks there pushing Article 5 Convention out of Harrisburg. They have introduced numerous resolutions, and they had that rally on March 24th, and the speakers included former U.S. Senator Rick Santorum and Pennsylvania Senator Chris Dush. He's from Jefferson County. He's a big-time proponent of the Article 5 Convention. In fact, he's introduced several of the bills that are sitting now in the state Senate. Rick Santorum seems to be going all over the country pushing for an Article 5 Convention of States. Do you know if he's getting paid anything to do this? Or is he just volunteering his time?
No. We got a pay stub of him. He gets paid like $333,000 a year to do this stuff.
Oh, wow. That's just pocket change. Yeah, sure. $333,000. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And like I said, we don't have like a running
right.
tab of,
right.
of every year, but we do have one that shows that he got paid $333,000 to push this. And he's come over to Ohio, where I'm also in charge of the state of Ohio. He's come over and testified there. So, yeah, he's not doing this out of the kindness of his heart.
Right. He wants more money padding his pockets, obviously. That's sad. I think that's called lobbying, isn't it? Or something like that?
That's exactly what it's called.
Yeah.
And that's what you and I should be doing. We should be down there testifying, you know, against these things once we educate ourselves.
Yeah, for sure. Some of there's various resolutions that have been introduced. One is a resolution, it's 125, H.R. 125, quote, fiscal restraint for the federal government, limitations on the powers and jurisdiction of the federal government, and term limits for members of the U.S. Congress and federal officials, unquote. It seems like most of those resolutions that have been introduced are zeroing in on term limits and like a balanced budget amendment. That seems to be the main emphasis here.
Yeah, I was going to say, those are the carrots that they hold out to get people to call for a constitutional convention. Unfortunately, fortunately, we already have those in place. They're called elections.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And the Constitution, for example, the founders put it in there that all spending bills originate in the House.
Right.
They also put it in there that these guys come up for election every 2 years. Right. So if you have somebody who's voting to exceed the authority of the federal government and spending money on things that are not specifically in Article 1, Section 8, then that's the reason that the deficit and the debt keeps going up is voting for these things. So as the citizens, it's easy. You know, for example, Mike Kelly, he votes about 50% of the time for unconstitutional stuff. And over on JBS's website, we show how much money that's costing each household.
Wow.
So if we would just put constitutionalists in government, that we wouldn't have a problem with either term limits or physical spending.
Right. I think a requirement to run for office, especially federal office, would be that you have to have read the U.S. Constitution in its entirety. And in order to
Correct.
Run for state office, you have to have read the U.S. Constitution as well as the Pennsylvania Constitution in this case. But obviously, that's not a requirement.
No, and I would actually take it one step further. You should have to read both the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers.
Yeah.
Because the Federalist Papers actually explains in detail everything in the Constitution. For example, there's a Federalist, I think it's 82, that talks about the Supreme Court. You know, it's only a paragraph in that creates the Supreme Court in Article 3.
Right.
But there's an entire Federalist Papers that talks about it. And it says, let us now consider the federal judiciary of the proposed government. The federal judiciary is by far the weakest of the three departments. Well, that's not the way it's treated today. They act like they're supreme and that they can overrule both the executive and the legislative branch.
Yeah.
That was not the government we were given.
That's for sure, because it's supposed to be three branches of government. And as you said, the Constitution paints the judicial, the Supreme Court and the judicial, you know, the Supreme Court is the only one that's actually created in the Constitution. And the other ones are up to the Congress as far as creating additional judicial jurisdictions and such. And it's very clear that the Constitution makes the judicial branch the weakest. But
Correct. It's
not at all. I mean, now it's, you know, I'm thinking of the Obergefell decision back in, 2015, that's legalized so-called same-sex marriage. You know, now it's the law of the land because, you know, Supreme Court said so. I don't think so. And I'm just going to get off on a tangent here. There's actually a bill, I think it's HB 1800, that just passed the State House that would take out the language, the one man, one woman language for Pennsylvania law. And that just passed the State House I think it was last week. But they recognize that the law of Pennsylvania still says one man, one woman equals a marriage. Anyway,
correct.
That's a tangent. But, yeah, the Supreme Court's been given way too much power, and we the people don't know what our own Constitution says. So there's no pushback, so they just continue doing this. I found it interesting that there's a Philadelphia state rep who proposed H.R. 21. That's State Rep Jared Solomon. He proposed H.R. 21, which would institute term limits for members of Congress as well as the U.S. Supreme Court. Isn't there already term limits on Supreme Court? Or does it say for their life? They can serve for their life.
They rule for life under good conduct, which basically means they rule for life.
Well,
they're not elected. They're appointed, and they can go clear off into left field and interpret that document 180 degrees, the difference of what the founders, and they still retain their chair. So they basically have to die or murder somebody.
But again, though, Congress should step in if a Supreme Court justice misinterprets the Constitution and rules or hands down an opinion that totally contradicts the Constitution. But Congress doesn't have the guts to impeach those who go off in left field. And so to me, there is term limits, but Congress does not have the guts to fulfill their duty of impeaching judges who are leading by misinterpreting the Constitution.
Yeah, John Birch Society had a whole campaign about impeaching Earl Warren back in his day. I mean, he's the one that instituted separation of church and state.
Mm.
And I mean, the Obergefell, gay marriage, the one lady Supreme Court, or I can't remember her name, RGB or whatever, she actually had already conducted gay marriages in the Supreme Court, and she should have recused herself as not being impartial, but she didn't. So a lot of corruption.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Yes, that was
the one.
Yep, that's the one. I mean, we knew how she was going to, come down on that case, because she, like you said, had conducted so-called same-sex marriages within the Supreme Court building itself. So that's just besides the fact that is that marriage is not in the Constitution as far as something that the U.S. federal government could get involved in. So it's totally, anyway, that's a whole mess.
Yeah.
I found it interesting that State Senator Dush has introduced SR-118. Apparently, he's concerned about a possible runaway convention because SR-118, quote, provides guidelines to and controls over delegates for behavior at the convention. These guidelines are meant to ensure that legislature's sovereign will is protected against any risk of delegates' misbehavior or any attempts to create a runaway convention, unquote. So there is some concern about a possible runaway convention.
Yeah, well, without a doubt. But the reason that they submitted that bill is not necessarily out of concern. We have the same thing over in Ohio. They got it's called the Faithful Delegate Bill. In other words, you know, we're gonna pick our delegates, and then we're gonna send them to this constitutional convention, and they better do what we say, or it's gonna be a third degree felony. The problem is they don't get to pick their delegates.
Right.
The Constitution, if you read it, all they get to do is petition Congress to call for a convention. After they have called for the convention, it is now out of the state's hands. They do not submit their delegates. And then the only thing they can do at the end is, after the new constitutional convention came down with its new constitution, then they can vote on whether or not they want to accept that new constitution. But they have zero control over that.
So Senator Dutch thinks he has more power than what he does when he introduces bill.
Apparently. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like I said, in Ohio, it's the same thing. It's called the Faithful Delegate Bill. It'll be a third-degree felony if you go there and do something we tell you not to do. The problem is New Jersey just passed a resolution for a constitutional convention that would codify abortion into the Constitution. Mm-hmm. So now you have a constitutional convention with all these far-right groups and then all these far-left groups. What in the world do you think would come out of that?
Not a constitution like came out of the 1787 Constitutional Convention, for sure. Wow.
Exactly. So I met with some state reps, and I think it was Bonner, who was one of the bill's proponents here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And our John Birch Society chapter went in there and met with him. And he's like, oh, this is just about term limits. And I'm like, do you know anything about the Articles of Confederation? And he's like, no, I don't. And I was like, the Articles of Confederation was our original constitution. It couldn't be amended except upon the approval of all 13 states. Well, they got in there and they just changed all the rules, and they gave us a brand new constitution, which violated the Articles of Confederation. So
wow.
For these people to act like there's a set of rules that we have to play by, there are no rules.
Mm-hmm.
The convention makes up their rules. Now, when we were testifying the other day, a Democrat in Ohio also brought that up. And I was sitting in the audience and I went to ChatGPT. And I said, why did James Madison, the father of the Constitution, say that he opposed a second convention? And I'm looking at it right now on ChatGPT. It says fear of a runaway convention.
Mm-hmm.
Madison's biggest concern was that a new convention could not be limited, which is what they say. The original Constitution was only supposed to revise the Articles of Confederation. Instead, they threw it out completely and created a brand new Constitution. So
yeah.
He saw firsthand. I mean, James Madison was a Federalist and wrote a lot of the Federalist Papers.
Mm-hmm.
Four presidents later, he became president under the Anti-Federalist Party because he realized, look, this is what we created,
right.
And none of these people are playing according to the rules, because
right.
He wrote the rules.
That says it all right there. We have a Constitution. They're not obeying what the Constitution says now. How can adding amendments or a new Constitution altogether, they're not going to follow that either. I mean, human nature is they want power. And if a founding father warned against another constitutional convention, that should be enough right there for us to listen to and take his advice.
Father.
Yeah, well, that's true. The founding father. That's true. That's true. I find it interesting that Senator Dutch also introduced SR-117, which would restore the 10th Amendment sovereignty to the states. It's still there. The 10th Amendment's still in the Constitution, which gives states the rights, if it's not expressly delegated in the Constitution, for it to be a federal issue, it'd be a state issue. That's a very bad synopsis of it, but it's still there. So why should we have another amendment to restore the sovereignty of the 10th Amendment? That makes
exactly right. Exactly
yeah.
right. They're not obeying the original one.
Right.
What do you think anymore? We really mean it this time on it?
Right. We're going to sign this in blood. Scary
stuff. And the solution to that, Diane, is what we call nullification.
Okay.
All right. So it's basically what the states do is anything the federal government does that they do not have the authority to do under Article 1, Section 8, the state just passes the resolution and says, yeah, that's not going to be binding in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
We're just going to ignore it. We're going to thumb our nose at them and say, you never had the authority to do it. We don't have to obey you. You know, one of the illustrations that we give is federal spending overseas.
Uh-huh.
You know, Biden gave like $50 billion to Ukraine. Well, what your legislature would do is they'd be like, yeah, I don't see any foreign aid in the Constitution, so you're not going to put us on the hook in
right.
Pennsylvania for a billion of that, and then we're just not going to give you the $1 billion to go to Ukraine because you never had the authority to do it.
Way back, you mentioned the 1777 Constitutional Convention, which was originally created to strengthen the Articles of Confederation. And Rhode Island was the only state that said, no, 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 we're not going to participate. So they, like you said, they changed the rules so they did not require all 13 states to say, yes, we're going to have a convention. So
they changed
the rules on the, in that case. They will change the rules again. It's just, there's no doubt about that. And when you have James Madison urging future generations not to call another constitutional convention, why is it that we have become, we as American citizens have become so ignorant of how our government should run?
Two answers to that question. One, our educational system, and two, apathy. Yeah. So first, our educational, they want to dumb you down. They want to keep you ignorant so they can convince you that they have authority that they do not have. So unless you do like I did early on in my 20s, you go back and you study all these documents for yourself, and you're like, wait a minute, that's not what it says. Wait a minute, that's not, you know, that's the only way that changes. I'm teaching a course right now called The 12 Lies, which are lies the American people have bought into, from everything from separation of church and state to you can't legislate morality to the Supreme Court is the highest authority in the land. I've got 12 different teachings where I show what you're being told and what is actually true. And people really love this course.
Where are you teaching it at right now?
Place called Patriot Valley Ranch, which is up here by a town called Northeast PA.
Up Northeast PA, okay, in Erie County.
Yeah, up in Erie County. And we're just doing it as a kind of a dry run. We're getting everything in order, and then we hope to launch it maybe nationally here in the summer.
Okay, that'd be fantastic, because we definitely need a re-education of what our founding really was and what the Constitution really says and how this government is supposed to run. We definitely need something, you know, something to teach Americans. Not, and we always think of the younger generation, but it's the older generation also that does not know what the Constitution says. Apathy, you mentioned apathy. I think we as American citizens think, well, we'll always have a quote-unquote democracy, and what nothing like happened over in China and Russia will ever happen here. I'm sorry. We already see it happening here, and we need to recognize that we are not immune simply because we're the United States of America. We're not immune to socialism and eventually communism. You know, mentioned James Madison, but more recently, Justice Scalia, the late Justice Scalia, said a constitutional convention is a horrible idea. This is not a good century to write a constitution. So he recognized we don't have the leadership that we had back in the 1780s, and this would not be a good idea whatsoever. I know that Mark Meckler is the guy who is heading up the nationwide effort to call a convention of states. A question, right. why are they calling a convention of states and not a constitutional convention?
And there's like six different names they throw out for it. Yeah, and it's been changed over the years. It is a constitutional convention. Article 5 only allows you to change the Constitution in two ways. Tack an amendment on the end like we did 27 times already, including term limits on the president.
Right.
If you want to tack something on the end, that's one thing, but it doesn't allow you to monkey with the rest of the document. But then there's the Article 5 Constitutional Convention that allows them to go and do what they did in 1787, scrap the entire document, and replace it with a brand new one. Yeah. And we already have the constitutions that they have written that they are going to submit. They're fully written. And that's what these people are going to do, and including people with Mark Meckler's organization.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. So he already has plan two or step two in place or already thought out.
Yeah, wow. And if your listener just wants to go to nationalconstitutioncenter.org, that's, you know, it says right there, we're here to celebrate the greatest document in human history. But then they have a thing called the Constitution Drafting Project, where they ask three teams, Team Libertarian, Progressive, and Conservative, to create their ideal constitution. And these constitutions are there. You can download them as PDFs. You can read all the changes that they make. But I would just, you know, for the sake of time, tell people to go to both the Progressive and the Conservative First and Second Amendment and see how it guts the First and Second Amendment. Our First and Second Amendment says Congress shall not.
Right.
You shall not mess with religion, speech, firearms, anything else. Both of these, the conservative and the progressive, says the same things, but then it says, except when restricted by law. And the conservative one actually has red flags written right into the constitutional amendment.
Oh, my goodness. That's the conservative one.
Yes. That's the conservative one. The progressive one just says the federal government and the state shall have full regulatory power over firearms. They're not hiding. The conservative one tries to be a little bit more sneaky, but you know, instead of saying Congress shall not, it says, well, Congress shouldn't accept on these few conditions.
Yeah.
And they're so ambiguous, it's not even funny.
That ambiguity opens all sorts of doors, for sure. Bad doors.
Yeah, and that's how I normally convince the people that this is wrong, is I give them the story of the Trojan horse. I said, back in antiquity, you know, the Greeks were trying to take down the city of Troy. It was a 10-year siege. They could not penetrate the city. And in one night, they built a horse. They put soldiers up in it. They said, the war's over. We're leaving. They got in their boats and they left. At night, or when the sun was going down, they opened the gates, pulled the horse in. When night fell, they all came back, came out of the horse, and destroyed the city. One night. Because of deception. That's exactly what this is. I actually created a photo using AI about a Trojan horse outside the gates of the city. And this is what I told the Columbus legislature and a couple city councils. I said, this is a deception. The only way they can get in and destroy our Constitution is if you open up the gates and let them in. Yeah. And that's exactly what they're asking you to do.
I know that the supporters of this Convention of States said that states would never ratify bad amendments. That's one of their talking points. Yeah, we have the 17th Amendment, which that strips the power. I mean, that made direct election of U.S. senators. That's what the 17th Amendment did. And in many cases, that was ratified unanimously. So it's a lie when they say that states will not ratify bad amendments. I mean, 17th Amendment is a perfect example of what happened during that time frame.
Yeah, without a doubt. And with the voting system the way that it is, and you can't even trust the voting system, I certainly am not putting anything like this up to a vote, because they've already proven they've monkeyed with the elections over and over again.
Over and over again. And they don't want to do anything to stop it, it would appear. So I understand that Robert Brown, who is with the John Birch Society, has issued basically a challenge to Mark Meckler, who's the president, Commissioner of States. Mr. Brown has offered to debate Mark Meckler on the issue of Convention of States, on Article 5 Convention of States, and has offered $10,000 to Mark Meckler to have that debate take place. Has Mark Meckler indicated any interest in debating Robert Brown?
No. And the document that we have is from the Montana legislature to Mark Meckler, saying that we invite you here to debate Robert Brown in front of our legislature. And they refuse. That just should show you something. And I tell them that. I just spoke up in Medina, Ohio, just south of Cleveland. And they're like, we ought to just have a debate. And I'm like, hey, glad to. But they won't debate you.
Yeah.
And I said, here's what you do. Say you're going to bring them in to give a presentation, and then when they say okay, oh, by the way, we're bringing in a JBS representative, give the other side. They will back out every time.
Wow. So what can we do? I know John Birch Society, JBS, has a lot of resources because they're on the front lines of fighting this thing. So what can we do? How can we access that information that JBS has?
Yeah, just Google johnbirchsociety.org and then put in Article 5 Academy. We got an entire page of all of our legal scholars with like 3 to 7 minute videos, mostly, of why this is a bad idea, what are the lies they're telling you. We've got state reps that have actually testified and said, Jake Banna here, my rep, called me one morning and said, hey, you support Convention of States? I said, no. He said, I just got an email saying you did. And I ran against him. He knew I didn't. They're doing this type of fraud all across the country where they'll, you know, hey, sign our paper here so we can get term limits. And people are like, okay. Next thing I know, they're getting a call from a state rep going, do you support a constitutional convention? They're like, I don't know anything about it.
Wow.
So it's all deception. It's all deception. So go to Article 5 Academy, John Birch Society, Article 5 Academy, and educate yourselves and then educate others. Post these videos on Facebook, show them to your churches, whatever you have to do.
Okay, good. So there are resources that we definitely need to access so we can become educated ourselves and share that education that we have to expose the dangers of an Article 5 Convention of States. We need to read the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution for sure, to know what limitations are already in place that are not being adhered to.
Right.
Thanks, John, so much for your time. I appreciate it. And keep up the good work in fighting this thing and everything else you do.
I appreciate all you do. Thank you.
Yeah, you take care.
Thank you for joining us on American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. Please note that the views and opinions expressed by our guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the AFA of Pennsylvania. We value your opinions as well. To continue the conversation, visit afaofpa.org, where you'll find links to all our social media. If you're passionate about defending traditional values in our state, we invite you to get involved with the American Family Association of Pennsylvania. Visit our website at afaofpa.org or write P.O. Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania 16323 to learn more and to take action. Together, we can make a difference for the families and the future of Pennsylvania.